I've got a title here today for us. We're going to have a faith teaching, and we're calling this Faith Must Be Rooted, Grounded. Faith must be rooted and grounded. And it always amazes me when I'm before the Lord waiting, praying, interceding on teaching, how often we come back to faith, the teaching of faith, and always to find that there is something new to learn. I always remember many, many years ago that a vision was given of faith like a diamond and light reflecting from it. And I don't know whether you've ever seen light that reflects from a diamond. It's like myriads of reflections can come from a diamond, different shapes and sizes and subtle colours. And as the diamond sort of moves around slowly and the lights on it, so they all vary and shine and are different in size and shape. And I thought that was a wonderful analogy of faith that God is teaching us with the deeper life. But I want us to open up today in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 to 7. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 to 7. And here it says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." So he's very clear here to the Colossians. You've not only received him as Saviour and Lord, but you're to walk in him. Walk in his ways, in his footsteps. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit, who comes and enables us to be able to walk in him. Not our own walk, but his walk, his guiding and leading. And then he goes on in verse 7, "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." So he says that we're not only to walk in him, but rooted and built up in him. This understanding of being rooted and built up in him means that we have been planted. Rooting is taking place. That's what it means. And that is how we are to walk. Can everyone hear me? Because I lost connection for a minute. Are we back online? You can all hear. Thank you. So it says, "Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith." So it means that we are established, we are hearing faith, we are being taught faith, we are having seed planted into ground, and that's what it means to be rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. There's only one faith. "As you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." So we are to be thankful because we are bound together. We are rooted. We are rooted in him, bringing forth faith. And that should be an expression of our thanks and love. We must never stop thanking the Lord that he is teaching us faith and to walk by faith. Maybe sometimes we're not walking by faith as we should be, because we've lost being thankful, taking it seriously, that God is wooing us away from our dependence upon this world, like the world lives. And the apostle says clearly with what they're receiving that they are to be thankful and to thank God. You know, it's interesting that the survival of a tree or a plant is always its roots. We just see the outward form. We're now seeing in midsummer flowers, the herbaceous borders, the trees are full of leaves and everything. This is a wonderful time in nature to look and to appreciate the handiwork of God. But all of that tells us about their roots. You see, trees particularly are exposed to the elements. They're exposed to seasons. They stand through all different weather conditions. And every year they continue to bring forth leaves or whatever it would be. Why is this? Because the roots go down deep. Many times when you see a tree, particularly like an oak tree or whatever it would be, the roots are far deeper into the depths of the ground, which we can't see. But that is what sustains and keeps it. And is exactly the same with Jesus Christ. We are rooted and built up in him. And he sustains and keeps us through every trial and tribulation that we go through. Why? Because our faith comes from him. It is a gift. And so as we remain faithful, we remain faithful and open to the word, coming and listening to the word, so our roots go down deep. You see, a house that is built is dependent on its foundation. If the foundation isn't right or it's not deep enough, a house will start to have subsidence. And this is coming up strangely, more and more, this complaint, this problem, with all the houses that they're building and putting up quickly. They're finding that there is a lot of subsidence. What is that telling us? The foundations are not suitable. Faith must have its roots. And if we are to endure and stand, if we are to make it, if we are to walk by faith, it is dependent on my roots. I must go as deep as possible in Christ. And that is why it's the deeper life, a doorway to go deeper. You cannot stop going deeper with God. It's endless. For the purpose, so that we can have roots that go deep. The Bible tells us, doesn't it, that we are to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. And if you're just totally dependent on your minister or even this church, FGA, you've missed the purpose. It's not about just listening to the word, coming to the meetings. It's about how we hear. Because if that's all it is, if that is all you're coming to, you're not getting a complete and rounded understanding of what it's all about. It's fellowship with God and fellowship with each other, you see. We have to allow the word of God and what we hear to work what God wants to do in and through us. Because it's about roots going down deeper. And the deeper the roots go, the more is going to be seen. As Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. Fruit can only be born by established roots. A grapevine. The roots have to go deep with a grapevine. And it stands through all weathers and has to be nurtured and pruned in which to bring forth its fruit. And so God does likewise. And that's why the trials of our faith are absolutely tailor-made for not only pruning us, bringing forth more fruit, but enabling us to be able to stand and endure so that the roots go deeper. Jesus said, he or she that endures to the end will be saved. He's talking about being rooted in Christ. And your endurance, staying with it, is a clear sign the roots have gone deep in that Christian. These are wonderful analogies. They're so simple, yet so profound. See, Jesus often taught the people using nature, using those things around their environment that they were used to, that they saw or they worked with. He would then expound the deeper meaning of what it meant. And nothing changes. We do still exactly the same. So that it goes from the head to the heart. What does it say in John 14, verses 15 to 18? John 14, you know this very well. 15 to 18. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither see him nor know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Again, we're getting this analogy of abiding in him, that he may abide with you forever. Now, we have to remember that abiding, first and foremost, has to come from him. You cannot muster that up. That is the will and mind of God. That is God's calling from the foundation of the world. So if we know him and he's opening our eyes and ears and heart, we're responding, then he says, now, you remain and abide with me. Don't go off. Don't veer off. Don't get distracted. And this, of course, is what the enemy tries to do. He tries every trick to stop us from abiding in Christ because he knows that is where your roots are formed. Wish to God more Christians were awake to this. But this is what it is. What does he say in verse 25 of the same chapter? He says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. So this is what he was saying. He was saying these things because he was to go. Because he was going to come back sending the Holy Spirit. He was coming back to now live and to root himself in each of us, to tabernacle with us. And so we see then that our root of faith is in him, not just a word, but the person behind the word, the one who has made the promises to you. This has come from a real person, and his name is Jesus. Now glorified, sitting on the right hand of the Father. This is his letter. This is his promise. And as you read it, that is what he's saying personally to you, as if you were standing there in his presence, or he suddenly comes and appears before you. What will he say if he does that? He will never say anything contrary to his word. And that is how we must approach the word of God. This is God speaking to me. Even if I'm having trouble believing it. Even if I find it difficult to get from my head to my heart. He just says, have that simple childlike faith. This is me speaking to you right now. As you're reading it, as you're hearing it, and so on. And that is how faith comes. If you are simply viewing the word in an academic sense, intellectually, you are not going to understand what faith is about. And God is going to work and work and work with you till he gets to your heart. This is why he circumcises the heart. He works with the heart. So that we don't doubt, we don't question what he says in his word to us. We might find it difficult. There are times I have found it difficult. But I have always said, Father, I never want to doubt you. I look at this at the moment, I'm reading this at the moment, and it seems a million miles away. It seems as though I would never grasp this. But that's my problem, not yours. And you are God, and you are able to change. To change my belief. To take me deeper with you. That is how you grow by faith. You must allow the word of God to penetrate your heart. You are to talk to God when you read the word of God. And when you see verses that challenge you at times, or you don't understand, or you look at it and say, I wish I had that faith that that saint has. We need then to ask how that saint got that faith. You see, then you begin to learn that this is a letter written to us from the Father's heart, so that we are grounded and rooted in faith. And this also requires that you are baptize into Christ's body, set into the body to function. This often is the least understood. You see, many of these epistles were written to assemblies, to groups of believers. It was to encourage them, to teach them. And this is what the apostle had in mind when he wrote these letters to them. It's like a house of encouragement. And it's a sharing. It's like a letter we open. We're all in the house. We're all in the meeting. We've come together. And we've opened the letter up, and this is God speaking to us as his family. You see? So that we all can grow together, being rooted, grounded in faith. This is why the assembly is important. This is why coming together is important. Forsake not the assembling of the saints together under him, as the word of God says. You've got Christians who think they can do it on their own. And you can't. You're just partly doing it, because these letters were written to believers sitting under the unction, the anointing. Because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. What is that speaking about? Fellowship. And it, thank God he only says two or three, not 2,000 or 3,000. And he says, there am I. Always when Jesus appeared, particularly after his resurrection, he appeared to the disciples and many people. They were different. When he appeared, it changed. Their thinking, their mind, everything changed. He got their attention. There is nothing like a meeting like this that gets our attention, that you don't get on your own. And I'm not saying you don't have your time with God. Of course you do. You are to go into your closet daily and meet with God. But there is nothing like the unction of the Spirit, the headship of Christ over his body, his church, when believers come together. It gets our attention. It takes our minds off those hindrances, those things that try to stop us from hearing the word of God. It's different. And this is why the apostle wrote these epistles to assemblies, to churches, to groups of believers. But we can also glean from it on our own as we study it. But there's nothing like the word of God that's been opened up through the ministries, the gifts that God sets in the body to feed us, to edify, to teach us, to build us up in the faith. So we're rooted and grounded in Christ. There are too many believers today that are out on a loose limb. A lot of them, sadly, have probably had bad experiences in churches. Or the teacher got into heresy. Or whatever it would be. I encounter a lot, I read a lot online of people who've had bad experiences. But I always say, just wait on God, ask God to bring you together with those of like mind and heart and spirit. And if it's what you want, he will do it. He'll move heaven and earth. Why? Because it's about fellowship. It's about believers, God's family, coming together. It's where he said, two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I. He is present with us in a way that he is not when you're on your own. I wish to God more Christians could see this. This is why he sets the gifts in the church. To help, to build, to edify, to encourage, and so on. And the Holy Spirit will always bring his chosen together. Why? Because faith has to be rooted in him. Not in the pastor, not in a denomination or whatever it is. It is rooted in him. And the house of God is where we are rooted in him, in fellowship with him and each other. That is what he has ordained. Oh, we so often hear Christians say, I can't find the perfect church. Well, I'll tell you this. If it is a perfect church and you join it, it no longer is. Because we're all a work in progress. And we have to die to these problems at times, some that come up. We have to pray for our brother or sister where we're seeing weaknesses in their life. That's how you are built up and rooted. This is where fellowship comes. Fellowship is a cost. And you will never understand fellowship if you come and take. It's all about me. Fellowship is to come together first to worship and praise God, to be committed and yielded to Him. The second thing is to come to serve my brother or sister in the way that God leads me. That's what it is. But if you come and it's all about you and all you're there is to take from it, you have totally missed what it's about. You will never be built up in the faith, grounded and rooted in Christ. And this is a huge problem in Christendom. I see it online. I see it, Christians, when they open up, they're bound by themselves, their problems. It's me, I, all you read. They call it narcissism. I also call it self-pity. And it takes the mercy and grace of God. It takes the cross that the believers to take up also, in which to start to get delivered. And when you start to get delivered from self, you begin to realize that God's kingdom is far greater than your little kingdom. How does he do this? Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. This is why I say so often, when we come under the word of God, the word is not only to teach us, it is to heal us and deliver us. And sadly, the healing and deliverance at times can lack in teaching. You see, to be healed and delivered by the word of God, it means that you have to expose. You have to touch those raw areas, those nerves, in order to be healed, to be set free. Because that is what the word of God is. If you are just going and you just want to be taught, be very careful, because that's where pride puffs you up with knowledge. And that was the Pharisees' problem. The word of God must be balanced not only in teaching, but also in healing, delivering, and saving. And that's why I'm a great believer that God will bring God's people, he will bring them together in fellowship, rooted in him, with Christ as your head. This is why I always say, it's not a mistake. This meeting today is not a mistake. Being here today is not a mistake. This is the mercy and grace of God. God has called us in which to meet with him. And yet we can take it so lightly. It's sad, isn't it, that what sin has done in the world and how it's hindered our ability to believe and have faith, that simple childlike faith. But you see, I believe we're under the times of restoration where we're being brought back under apostolic faith in which to believe and trust God and to trust in his teaching and not keep questioning and answering why and arguing and bickering. You can never grow in that environment. But to know that whatever God says, he can never be wrong. We don't always understand everything straight away. It's impossible. But as we keep coming and as we keep listening, so we begin to gradually understand, because it's dropping that 18 inches from the head to the heart, you see. And this is why we're in the times of restoration, where he's establishing again the apostolic faith, to walk by faith and not by sight. But through all of this, we have to see the bigger picture. You see, when seed is sown, you don't see anything for a while. And then suddenly one day you see a little shoot, something green coming through, and it's watered and it's nurtured. Exactly what God is doing now. He's watering, he's nurturing us. He's using that spiritual water, which is the word of God, to cleanse us, to feed us for growth. And then you watch as it grows. And from a small seed, if we look round in God's world and wherever we travel, and sometimes you can see some of the biggest trees in the world, in Canada or South America, massive, massive trees. But it started from a seed hidden in the ground. And this is how God does it. And he will do it by rooting us firmly. He will do it by watering, giving us the word of God to believe, to trust that God is in control of my spiritual growth, and that he's going to produce that fruit in me for his glory. You see, this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. This is why we are moving in as we grow and mature in the faith. Your faith yesterday is not the faith for today. You have faith for today. And if the Lord tarries, you have faith for tomorrow, next week, next year. I am able in Christ, rooted in him, to walk this day by faith. And that's all he's ever asked of you and me. We complicate it. And you know how we complicate it? Because we plan, we scheme, we work it all out in our minds, only to find that God's ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And Christians have real problem with that. Why do you have Christians, a lot of them, who plan and scheme? Because they have never yet let go. And you have to let go. And what is letting go? It's letting go of the spirit of this age, this world. Let go of it. It's not your friend. And as you let go, then you find you don't go under. You find that you can stand, you can believe. You start then to see healing and deliverance working in your life. You know, there's a big, big thing going on at the moment on the internet, where I minister in Instagram. There's a huge amount about the mind. having the mind of Christ and battling the thoughts and everything. You can see the real battles that Christians are having. Bad thoughts, critical thoughts, lustful thoughts and so on. And they're all giving the answers. They're all using the scriptures and everything. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But it doesn't take me long to see what really is one of the major problems. They're not willing to let go, to trust God and walk by faith. And that's why the mind is still held. And the enemy has a legal hold. But when you are in faith, when you settle it, the devil has to let go. Because faith, trusting God, is the mind of Christ. That is the mind. That is your mind. His mind is being implanted into your mind. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is why it says, I have the mind of Christ. Not my mind, not my thinking, or what I'm dwelling on. I have His mind. Now think about it. Have you ever thought for a moment what Christ's mind is? Certainly not filled with a lot of the stuff you think on. On the contrary, His mind is the Word of God as you read it. It's what it is. That is His mind. So every time I read these promises in God's word, that is His mind. That's what He's telling me to dwell on and think upon. When you start to think critically, negatively about a person, you start to read the word of God. Love doesn't think critically. Love thinks the best, wants the best. You come against it, the negative, with the positive. And many, many, many other promises that God has set in His word. Why is that so powerful? Because that is God's mind. And I'm taking it on. That's why. I want His mind, His thinking. Everything that He is, I want that in my mind functioning, you see? And He'll do it. It's for asking. We too often ask for the wrong things. You see, faith has to experience the Father's heart. Faith is our deliverance from dependence of the world and believing its lies. We're still gullible, believing the lies of the world. We're all too quick to believe governments and politicians and what they say. Instead of believing what God has said. Of course, we hear every day what people are saying in the world, or you hear at work, or whatever it is. But you have a way of turning that. When you hear these things, I often then go, Lord, I've heard this from someone, but Father, I want to hear what You are saying. Please speak to me. And God does. Because that's what He wants you to do. And then you begin to hear God speak in the way that He does. And He speaks in many, many ways. Because we're not always sure. The world, its ways, we know that it lies, it deceives. And so we have to be on our guard. We have to have the whole armour day by day for these very things. But when you come back to the Word of God and you depend upon him. He is your guard. He is your discernment. He is your truth. He is the one that's going to guide you. Some Christians have this mindset that it is frightening to totally depend on God, that I'm totally dependent on him. They still have a wrong mind and thinking with regard to that. They somehow can't accept it. It seems unreal. It's not something you can live in this world and do that. But that is the very thing he says, that we be totally thrown upon him, totally dependent upon him. You see, the Holy Spirit, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you depend upon the Spirit, the idea of the Holy Spirit is that you come as a, he comes as a comforter. And the idea and analogy of that is that you put all your weight, you lean upon that wall. How often have you leant against a wall with all your weight against it? You're not thinking it's going to collapse. You're just maybe taking a bit of pressure off your, one of your legs or whatever it is, but most of the weight of your body, all of it, is against, pressed against that wall. And you don't think any more of it. That is exactly what the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is for. You are to totally put your spiritual weight, your trust, everything on him. That's what it means. And when you start to do that, then you begin to start to see your faith walk starting. And you begin to see things happen. Praise God, that happened by faith. You see these little things suddenly springing up. Like the seed that is sown, and suddenly you see the little green shoots coming up. That's my faith. And you get encouraged by that. Don't try and work out how it happened. God saw faith, and that's all that's needed. He said, a mustard seed of faith. That's all I need from you. And the green shoot will start to rise. Don't try and work it out. Just believe. And that is putting our total trust in him, our complete dependence upon him. We can do it because he's all truth. There's no lie in him. That's why he tells us in Romans 12 to present yourself as a living sacrifice unto him, so that you may be able to discern and test and have the mind of God. What does he say as we bring this to a close now in Ephesians 4, verse 22? Ephesians 4 and verse 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You're putting it off. You're placing a new cloak, garment. We're not talking about two natures. We're talking about, it's like a cloak. You're putting it on. You're trying it on. That's what it means. Allow the Spirit to do that. That's our deliverance, our change, you see? You put off those things that you rely on. And much of those things that we rely on are habitual in nature. We're creatures of habit. And that's why God comes in sometimes and he fouls it all up. He throws out your sequence. He's done that a lot with me. Because I like routine. I like order. It's how I was brought up. But I've watched God over the years how he's disrupted that. Because he's not going to have it. Because I am putting my trust in that. He is in control. And that's why the renewing of the mind is essential to walk by faith. Let God continue to renew your mind. In other words, deliverance. He's delivering the mind. He's reprogramming you, like we do with computers. As I've said so often, you put wrong information in, that wrong information will come out until it's corrected. And that is exactly what God does with us. This is why faith comes by hearing, reading the Word of God.